Sam Bisaccia, everyone was worried about the oblique injury. All he did over the weekend, he had a game where he had 5 for 5 with yet another home run. Did you see the stat that if his average exit velocity is 94 miles an hour, if that was Major League Baseball, he'd be top 5. Yeah.
I've already said it.
Top 5.
I don't like what they've done with him just because I want to see him. But I understand what they're doing, because that cat, if he doesn't get hurt, is winning Rookie of the Year next year.
I get it.
That bat has been major league ready for the longest period of time.
He's gotten bigger, too.
Yeah.
Like in his chest and shoulders areas, he's gotten bigger.
But the extra base hits, like when you get to a certain age like this, it takes a while, like the extra base hits start to become home runs, right? When you start, and that may be the case when he gets to the major league level. He's going to hit some bombs. But you watch guys as they start to get through it, and they feel comfortable at the plate. They're working their counts. And they have just a better feel, you start to see the long ball more. He is doing something in the minor leagues where it's like he's on par with what Aaron Judge was doing at the major league level. Like maybe not with the batting average, but with every other aspect of it, including the power number.
He has incredible, incredible power. And you're right, Jeremy, this is all about, we want that extra draft pick. Let's just wait till August.
You know what's going to start, though. Up. You got the mooing with it. Bisaccia!
Bisaccia!
Just like Holiday. Like it's, if they don't do it, you guys are missing it.
Well, Oriole interim manager Tony Mancelino spoke on Bisaccia, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but we got to say it that way.
And what it takes for him to come to the majors.
There's a plan in place for him right now. You guys don't know what it is. We're not going to tell you. But there's definitely a plan in place. Mike is thinking about him every day. So our front office is really smart. There's a lot that goes into those decisions. You know, we talked earlier in the year about knocking the door down. It feels like he's starting to do that in a lot of ways. The obvious is the box score. That's the hitting. What you're not seeing is the catching. There's no catching in the box score. So that's still a really important piece for us. We got to have catchers that are great catchers. They affect 13 other guys. They affect the defense. They affect the whole team every night. So his development right now is probably mostly coming on the catching side. The bat's probably ahead of that. But all reports are that the catching's massively going up. Fedorovich down there in AAA is doing a great job with him. And I had Fed, he's a player. He's going to be a really good coach. He already is. So he's teaching Sammy a lot. But yeah, it's Mike has a plan in place. You guys, we'll figure that out here as we go. And we're really excited about him.
I have some wholesale issues with what he's saying. And I get why he's saying it. So this isn't me knocking Mancelino. Like the plan in place is because of wanting him to be eligible for Rookie of the Year next year. And we can sit here and talk about, what does this team need? They need a bat. They need somebody to hit. And maybe this weekend against the Rockies, you might say, hey, they hit the ball fairly well against them. They're fine. No, they haven't hit with runners in scoring position. This team needed a jolt. They needed some sort of life in the middle of the season, and maybe calling a Bisaccia up could have changed that. And I understand what you're saying about behind the plate. You have Gary Sanchez behind your plate. He's awful. He has no business being a catcher anymore. It's a bat. And this is where I inherently have the problem. But again, I don't know what I expect a manager to say when you're asked that. He's still trying to get this job, too, which, I mean, I think all signs are showing he ain't going
to
be here.
My pushback to what you just said, fundamentally, I agree with you, but my pushback would be this. The difference is Gary Sanchez is as good as he's ever going to be. He's not going to develop anymore. Alex Jackson is as good as he's ever going to be. He's not going to develop anymore. We bring these guys up because we're not worried about stunting their growth. They're not growing anymore. We want to make sure Sammy Bisaccia, he grows as much as he can on that level. What? That, I think if he words it that way, then...
You're going to tell me Kobe Mayo doesn't need more seasoning at first base?
Yeah, but that's what he's going to play.
I'm saying, like, you're sitting here telling me, like, the catcher needs more seasoning. So does our first baseman playing it. And again, like, it's not me being mad at what the, how this is going, because I understand the reason why it's going. The reason isn't because he doesn't have enough time catching.
The reason is because they want time on their side and have this guy eligible for Rookie of the Year next year. We know that.
But somebody,
I agree with that.
Somebody had said,
I'm okay with them doing that.
Yeah, he said he has to force his way on the team, to which somebody said, did Alex Jackson have to force his way on the team? Did Jacob Stallings have to force their way on the team? Like, and I get that from that aspect, but fans want to see him, and I think you're going to at the end of August.
But my only pushback is comparing them being on the team to Bisaccia. Those guys are who they are. So they're going to come in and eat up some playing time for me because they all, I'm not developing those guys.
Well, it's the same nonsense. Like Mayo should have been out there this entire time.
He should have been.
He should have been. And this BS of we're trying to win games. How are you trying to win games? This is the first sign of life we've seen from Tyler O'Neill. And we're getting to that point where it's like, Esser, get off the pot. Make a decision on what you're going to do. Either we're going to take a look at these young guys. And I'll tell you what, if Basayu doesn't get called up at the end of August, beginning of September, then I'm wrong that they wanted to see him play behind the plate more because he's going to have to do that in AAA, right? He's going to have to get behind the plate and play more. So then that'll bleed into next year because he's going to need more time. If he's up at the end of August or if he's up at the beginning of next year, which games did he get more time to get seasoning being a catcher? It's just not happening. If he's going to DH or play some first, hell, bring him up. Let him play some first here then. We've heard it's incredibly easy to play first.
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Vinny Serrato joins us in studio at 9:30, but on the other side, it's the Daily Line.
Yeah, we'll run through this. I didn't have a great weekend. I called a lot of home runs, which was kind of cool. But, just some great hitting environments that didn't work out for me. I'll talk a little bit about that. There are three spots today that are just outrageously good for hitters. We will talk about that. And I think I have a prop play
I'll
for
you.
I'll
tell you what.
I tell you what. We got a prop play for you with one of our own that I think is in just such a cherry spot that it's absolutely going to hit. I'll tell you what that is when we come back here on The Fan. All right, here we go. I'm going to do this real quick. Let's try to catch up on time here. But weekend wasn't kind to me. Got really angry on Friday. I felt like there was a perfect play on the board. It was the Reds and the Rays over 9.5 runs. They had 28 base runners. 28 base runners. Bases loaded 4 times.
Ooh.
They scored 9 runs. And I was telling you, the other one that really kind of just stuck in my craw this weekend was Trevor Rogers over 5.5 Ks. He had 5 Ks after 3 innings. He had 5 Ks after 7 innings. Some bitch, man. It's like sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail, and I was definitely the nail this weekend. I did call a ton of home runs, and I'm actually going to give you my 5 homers today. I love today's board for home runs. These guys are all in fantastic spots. We'll get to that in a second. Let me start off with the weather. Orioles over. Great spot. Yankees over, really good spot, not a lot of data. Red Sox over, great spot. Tigers under. Guardians over, good spot. Cardinals over, great spot. A's over, great spot. The A's, the O's, and the other one I didn't bring up is the Royals over, great spot. A's, O's, and Royals games. Royals are playing the Braves. Rich Hill is pitching. By the way, if you didn't see... there was an old man wearing a Royals hat in the crowd.
Yeah.
And somebody said, it's awesome that Rich Hill's kid came to see him pitch. Cause he's been pitching forever. He's on the mound today against the Braves. And there's a lot of Braves at the top of my lineup, in the algorithm, the guys that are at the top, 7 of them in the top 20, Seattle. And I can't say Oakland, Seattle and the A's. And that includes guys like Julio Rodriguez, Cal Raleigh, Brent Rooker, Nicholas Kurtz. There's a handful of guys. Butler. There's a bunch of guys in this grouping that really show out. That's what makes that game look so good. And in just talking about some of the other spots, just walk outside and see how you think the weather is. There's a reason why Zach Eflin and Chris Bassitt are pitching and the total's 9.5. And it may get to 10 in some spots, depending on how things go. But I'd say this, after doing some research, if you're into the whole batter versus pitcher, that's BVP.
Mm-hmm.
Gunnar Henderson, he's 4-for-10 off of Chris Bassitt with 2 bombs. Looks like pretty good home run hitting weather today, too. As I'm looking at the Orioles, this is what I love to do with the chart that I have here, the weather algorithm that I use. Drink. Right now, home runs in Orioles games, like with similar conditions, are hit at almost 45% more at a clip. So home runs are 45% more likely to be hit tonight.
So that's Camden Yards?
Yeah, that's an edge. And that's what I'm talking about. Some people might look at it because I've said 20% is a huge edge. It gets to 40 and 50, then it's great. The other spots that were really good that I was talking about, like for example, not a lot of data with the Yankees because it's only 2 games. You can clearly look and see it's 90 some degrees. The wind is slightly blowing in and it doesn't matter. Home runs are hit at a 70% clip more. That's ridiculous, but why am I not telling you to take the Yankees over? Because there's 2 games of data. It's just not enough to know that that's the right conditions. It's enough to look at it and say, hey, I think it's a pretty good play. It's not enough for me to sit here and go, this is one of the best spots. As I said, Orioles, Braves over, they're playing the Royals, and of course, Seattle and the A's. St. Louis, Miami, another great hitting situation. All these spots are really good. Here's what I have for guys over two bases, and I'll tell you the guy that I think is just in a cherry spot today. Ohtani, Raleigh, Julio Rodriguez, Vlad Guerrero, Nicholas Kurtz, Kyle Schwarber, Corbin Carroll, Corey Seager, Trey Turner, Ronald Acuna Jr., Will Smith, I'm playing him. Bryce Harper, I'm playing him. Gunnar Henderson, minus 115. That's the guy in the Orioles game. He will be a top play for me. Springer, minus 130. Riley, minus 155. Rooker, minus 105. Whit, minus 130. And then you guys may say, well, what are you rattling off these guys for? These are all these guys in my model, they have them going over 1.5 bases.
Okay.
So as I'm looking at it, I look for these players, and then I try to find the best odds. So if I see a game where, like, okay, Aaron Judge the other day was minus 180. And Giancarlo Stanton was plus 110. Both of them were projected to go over two bases or over 1.5 bases. It's 2+ on DraftKings. It's 1.5 like everywhere else. It means the same thing. So I bet Stanton, right? Plus 110. Why am I going to pay 180 for him when he might get walked three times? I'll pay the plus 110 in the same hitting environment. Mm-hmm. Stanton goes yard. Stanton hits a double in the game. He had a phenomenal game. And these are the spots I look for. So when I was looking at the Orioles and Jays, it was like, a lot of George Springer's minus 130, Vlad Guerrero's minus 145. I can't do it. And when I see Gunnar sitting there at minus 115 in the same hitting conditions, and then I look at his numbers against Bassett, yeah, I'm loving him to homer today. I think he's in a perfect spot. But it's a matter of finding those right values. I do the same thing with strikeouts. Rob, you can see the back of this sheet. What did I do? I write out every single pitcher, what their projection is, and what it says in different sports.
You don't do that digital?
No, it's easier for me to do it this way. It's probably easier the other way. Somebody knows a better way. I'm just kind of, this is how I've always done it. You find these little slips of paper, our show sheets, all around my house. My wife's like, what the hell is this? I just leave them everywhere because this is what I'm doing on a daily basis. And when I look at these spots, they all look great. I was trying to find some great strikeout props, but they're all juiced up so high in the good spots, like minus 180. I'm not going to pay that. So I think those guys are great. Some other games that I think are interesting, the Boston over, Arizona, Detroit under, that looks like a good spot. I think it's going to be more of a bullpenish game for Detroit. Texas and LA, the Angels, that's Corey Seager looks like he's in a prime situation as well. And here's who I think is going to homer today. And I'll leave you with this. My favorite player to homer is Cal Raleigh, then Gunnar Henderson, Austin Riley, Bryce Harper, Will Smith. I feel really good about these guys going yard. We'll see if I get any of them right. I've been hitting three over the weekend on Saturday. I think I had three on Sunday out of the five that I give out. Only one time, I've never gone 5-0. I told people the one time that I had the big bet, I placed a $25 parlay on a 5-run homer. Mm-hmm. First three guys, bang, gone. Now I need Judge and Witt. And you're figuring like Aaron Judge. Judge hits one in the eighth inning and Witt gets up in the ninth. There was no cash out option. Period. They didn't give me a cash out at all. Witt gets up in the ninth and hits one off the top of the wall. The payout for that $25 bet was 100 and some thousand. It was like 120K. And I miss it by that much.
Yeah.
I missed it by a Jeremy. Rob can see how big that is. Hey, Joe saw it too, so Joe's chuckling. Thanks, Joe. But no, I do think this is a great day to try to attack some of this stuff. One last thing, just because the numbers hadn't come out yet. Seattle and Connecticut in the WNBA, I like them to go under the total. I think it's a great spot. Connecticut pulled off a huge upset win last night, which I don't know how that happened. But I like that game to go under. So there you go.
There you go. 410-583-1057. Joe LaCroix's Encore at 9:45. But on the other side, Vinny Serrato joins us in studio with our training camp update on The Fan. 9:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Vinny Serrato joining us in studio. Vinny, now you were at training camp on Saturday.
Yep.
And I know you're one of those guys, you look at everything. As you walked away, you were driving back up to Falston, what's the one thing that you couldn't get off your mind, out of your mind?
No onions, Rob.
No onions? Not one.
No, but no, it was military day. So okay. There was a lot of military guys out there in their uniforms and stuff, which was pretty cool. But I heard you guys, when I was driving in, talk about Likely. And Likely looks great. I mean, they were doing one-on-ones. Might have been, it was either Saturday or Thursday, because they all run together. But the difference between Likely and Andrews, they're doing one-on-ones, and they're going against, you know, the Ravens safeties. And Likely is more like a wide receiver because he goes out there, you know, on the DB, fakes and separates, you know, because he's got that suddenness and quickness to get in and out of cuts. And then, like, he ran an out and up, catches a one-handed, you know, like, he just, yeah, like, wow. You know, I mean,
he's got it all.
He does. Now, the difference with Andrews is, like, Andrews comes off the line and he's got to beat the crap. Like, he's physical, blah, 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 knocking the safety around. And then he catches. So, I mean, they're both being productive, but they do it differently. One's kind of a thoroughbred, and one is a rebounder, you know, yeah, to get open. Well, so, they're both good.
Speaking of pass catchers, we were talking about Tez a little bit, Tez Walker. Yeah. What do you see with him?
I like him a lot. You know, I told you guys off air, I pulled him over, and, you know, I said, hey, Tez. And, like, he came over, like, nicest kid in the world. And Mac, he was at North Carolina with Mac Brown.
Yeah.
And Mac was my receiver coach at Iowa State. So we both played for Mac.
Right.
So Tez is, I told him, I said, Tez, let me just say that you've improved so much from last year to this year. I says, your ability to sink your hips and get in and out of cuts is amazing. I said, Tez, I said, in your drills, do what Bateman does. Because I said, he's phenomenal at that at route running, getting in and out of cuts and stuff. So, and he says, yeah, I do. I says, it's hard for you. I says, Zay's spectacular at it, but Zay's 5'9", you know, and you're 6'2", you know, so kind of watch what Bateman does. But he looks really good, and he made some really nice plays on Saturday. I mean, they had a play where Lamar hit him on a deep post route, you know, and it was really, I haven't seen him drop a ball.
Really?
I haven't seen him drop a ball. No. And he is, because last year he was just like vertical guy, and this year he can get in and out of cuts and stuff, you know, and he can run comebacks. And you know what I like about him? You know what I like about him too is like he always wants to go against Jair Alexander when they go one on one, you know, and he and they have some
battles,
good matchups, yeah.
Well,
you know,
with him too, isn't it something where they were talking about like he could do all the, if you want to talk about the end of the route tree and all the taking the top off the defense, but he really needs to develop some other things that to set those up, some hitches, some comebacks and things in his game. Is that fair?
Yeah, that was fair. Yeah. Because and that's what I'm talking about. To be a good receiver, you got to be able to get your pads over your toes, you know, like when you're stopping, and you got to be able to sink your hips. Because the thing about it is what receivers do, like you're coming off the line running, and you're running straight, you know, soon as, and if you're running and then you got to stop to run a curl route or whatever, if you raise your chest up, corner, he's planting and he's coming right now because he knows you're stopping. But if you can run in to the tail end of your cut, run, you know, get your pads over your toes, run, boom, and then come back.
Well, it's kind of like a pitcher thrown out of the same arm slot, right? You want it to look similar, so it's different when you're, like, yeah, if the route looks the same every time, no matter what you're doing, you keep them guessing if you're running it right.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, the nice thing about today is today's first day of pads.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun. And let me just tell you, you guys have both loved Jair Alexander, watching him practice.
I love the attitude. I think that's what the Ravens need.
Oh, no doubt.
On defense.
I mean, he brings confidence, cocky, arrogance, all that. You know, and he jumps up in their face. You know, and he hits, you know, he's jamming them at the line of scrimmage and he's pressing them and doing all those things. He may get beat, you know, some. You know what gets him is sometimes the back shoulder, you know, when they throw it. But, I mean, he's right there with the guy. I really like his arrogance and cockiness. Right. Now, you know, a couple, like Ouizie, he didn't practice. Like, he was running on the side field. I don't know what happened to him and Kone. Something happened. He left practice too. So two of the corners went down, but it's a really, really fast defense. Yeah. And I told you guys the other day, you know, on Friday, they get a lot of hands on balls, you know,
Can we still have that clip of Vinny talking about it, Joe, and find it. So again, one of the other things with, we were talking about all the pass catchers, but what about on the defensive side? What are you going to be looking for and seeing? Because like, is there still questions about weak side linebacker, some depth on the D line? Is that where we kind of have the questions on the
defense? I don't think so. You know, I mean, what I want to watch with pads is I want to watch, O-line and D-line. I want to watch pass rushers because I know we'll have one-on-one, you know, O-line, D-line today. So that's what I want to see. I mean, this is when you find out about your linemen. You know, I was watching the linemen Saturday. You know, they were just doing their drills and stuff, but just punching. I thought Voorhees had the best punch, strongest, you know, loudest punch.
Right.
And Filele was doing a hell of a job. You know, I mean, if he stays back and is patient in his pass pro, he does really good. But then he gets in the games, you know, and then he'll want to lunge. They're swimming right by him. So, you know, he's still got to get comfortable with that. Now, let me just say this. The Loopster, man, that dude's been kicking the heck out of the ball.
You got to understand, he's a rookie. He's coming in replacing a Hall of Famer. He's got to get himself in. He's a kicker, man. He's a heck of a kicker.
I don't care how much you practice. I got to see you in game environments and know if you can do this.
No doubt. Yeah. And then that's the same questions they've got. But
I think the nerves were there even in practice and understanding the assignment that was been, that's I mean, been given to
you. Following the greatest kicker of all time.
Exactly. But since he's been to training camp, he has not missed.
Yeah.
I mean, Saturday he was 6 for 6, but the longest was 42. But, I mean, he's kicking them and they have the camera. You know, and it's like right in the middle of the goal. He's hitting the camp. It's not like barely in right or barely in.
Right down the middle.
It's right down the middle every time. And that's, you know, and then like they do team periods and, you know, and then they got to run out and kick it. And, I mean, you see Lamar dapping the kicker and stuff, you know.
Jeremy's right. He's got to do it in the games. But right now there are no games. Mm-hmm. And the best I can ask for him is not to miss him in practice.
Yeah. He's doing everything he's supposed to do.
Well, the players have a lot more confidence in him now, which rightfully so. He's putting it right down the middle. And like you said, next Tuesday when they're practicing against Colts, it's going to be a big day for him. And then the preseason games, he's got to make them into preseason games because that's the next step.
Yeah.
After, and you know, till the Buffalo game.
What time is practice today?
1:30.
So you headed out there and check out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going out today. And then I just got to, you know, I mean, it's, Rob, when have you ever heard that, you know, you reported on Tuesday or Monday or whatever it was, and you can't have pads till the following week? I mean, come on. You know, I mean, when I was in college, we did pads three a days.
That's the NFL policy now, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they couldn't. Today's first day of pads for most of the teams in the NFL. And then I don't know if you can go consecutive days in pads. Jeez. You know, I mean, it's pretty crazy. Let me ask you guys about, you know, because me and Haney were talking about it on Friday. You know, like the Bengals are saying, well, you know, going to play our starters more in the preseason. We're going to play Joe Burrow in the preseason. I'm like, what the? For what? 8 plays? You know what? The what? Risk? I what mean, you're going to – and you know what? If he gets hurt in the preseason, I'm going to fire you.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be telling
him. I just don't get why they – and again, this is a team that you're going to see throw the football a ton this year because their defense didn't get any better.
They're just – the Bengals are dumb. We said that a lot. Vinny, thanks a lot, my man. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Well, you got it. I will definitely – Rob, just for you, I'll be looking for some onions today.
All right. Oh, nice. Don't be the creepy dude that takes pictures.
Hey, Rob's looking for you.
She might say, Rob already knows me.
Right.
Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what you learned today on the Fan.
Messing with people that it's not in their wheelhouse. Like, I feel like my friends and I, they act gay all the time. Like, everything is something that's just off the charts gay. And it doesn't matter how far it goes. Well, it does, because there's been some incidents where it's like, hey, we might have to talk to HR if we can find him. Do we have it with our friends? But I'm just like, to get released, he had to do something where he was touching somebody
else. If you're
else.
In a community with a lot of black dudes, that doesn't fly.
No, because you notice it in the group where they're like,
yeah.
You, what's wrong with and you?
It just doesn't fly, man. It just doesn't. you get voted off the island.
My favorite thing to do is when I owe somebody money on Venmo, when I send the payment, it's always like kissing lessons or like whatever. And I send it to my one friend. He goes, don't you ever put that on there again. And I said, you know, since you told me that, what you're getting every time now.
Joe's over there thinking, why do I put this rundown together? These guys just do whatever the hell they want to do. Talk about whatever.
You don't know, Joe. This is just this is a grid.
As it's just a guideline.
Oh, Jeremy wasn't there for that meeting.
You can change it up however you want, Jeremy, unless I don't like it. Jeremy, then I'm going to yell at you.
Jeremy was not there for that meeting, Joe. Don't bring that up.
Just a guideline.
That was an ugly meeting that day. That got ugly.
Mm.
That was Zoom, wasn't it?
I just blocked it out.
And that's the encore for the day. Yeah, we don't. Black guys don't do that, man. They don't play that gay stuff.
We do. No, we do it until somebody goes too far, and then it's like, is this where we're going now? Because then you start to find out some things about your friends, like, oh, this is. That's what I think had to happen with him. Again, Christian Wilkins, if you guys missed it, he got dismissed from the Raiders. Arguably their best, probably not arguably, their best defensive tackle, one of the better defensive tackles in the league.
He had to do something bad to get released. Well, let's just say that.
One of his former teammates in Miami said, yeah, that sounds like him.
It's a weird dude. Yeah. He called him a freak.
Yeah.
Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's
Speaking
up, Rashawn?
Of freaks, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What up?
Yeah, man. I agree, man. My friends, yeah, we don't play no type of games at all, man. That's how you get hit in your mouth, man. You know,
get voted off the island, man.
That sounds gayer than what we were doing.
No, not at all,
oh,
man.
Oh, not like that. I'm sorry.
I had to tell Dustin, man, because he liked to make this, you know, imitate the girl Friday, man, with his little, you know, that little voice. Like, you ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie.
I saw him. Man, come on, stop doing. I saw him, I think, Friday at the game.
At the game, yeah. He told me, yeah. Yeah, you know, you bought him a little drink and all that, man. You know,
Rob gave him the tickets, right?
Yeah, nobody know, don't want friends, don't drink. So I'm not around Rob. That's only when I'm with him too, you know. But you know, hey, but no, let me call about my point though, man. Listen,
call you about your point, man. Yeah. What's your
Listen,
state your business?
It's about the trade deadline, right? So if we do say trade Mullins and they trade Laureano and they trade O'Neal, like, who the hell is going to play in the outfield next year? I know we're going to sign some people, but, I mean.
There you go. You answered your question. You got guys so coming up. And you can go to the stadium next year to see Beavers.
Yeah. I mean, look, you could see Beavers and Kierstead get some opportunities to see if they're ready for it. You could make another trade for an outfielder. As I said, the outfield market isn't great next year.
But I think you got to figure it out.
Yeah, but again, like there's one superstar that's on the market. So if you want to get in with that, you'll be competing with the Dodgers, the Cubs, probably the Red Sox, the Yankees, maybe even the Giants. Kyle Tucker is the number one free agent on the market next year. And
you want him, don't you?
I'd love to have him here, but I don't know what that would cost, and I don't even know if it makes sense. Like I definitely want to keep the guys we have here, but I don't know. With a GM and an owner under fire, as some people are making it seem, how aggressive do they get in the offseason?
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good. Oh, well, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was in the Bahamas last week, so I could listen to y'all, but I couldn't call. But I just want to give a shout out to my cousin, Hayward Highsmith. He's throwing out the first pitch tomorrow. The Miami Heat. He went to Austin.
That's your cousin?
Early. Yeah, that's my cousin. Yep.
He's a good ball player, man. Like, he kind of got a little bit of that rotation. He started a little bit. They'd mix him in games, but I he might get some more burn. He's still with the Heat, right?
Yeah, he's still with the Heat. Yeah.
It might be a good year for him.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Mike. Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. Couple of national days. Today is National Water Park Day. We talked about that earlier. Do you like water parks?
I do. I loved water parks, and then until somebody started telling me about, you know, how filthy that stuff can get.
I tell you how bad filthy water is in general.
I love water parks, man. I love those water slides, and I hate the long ass walk up, and then it just takes 6 seconds to come down the damn thing.
That is one. If Rob's body is ever found in a water park, that's another place. Yeah. Like, all right, this is a plant.
This is a plant. Yeah. Today is also National Buffalo Soldiers Day. Congress established the first peacetime all-black regiments in the regular U.S. Army. After the end of the Civil War, the Buffalo Soldiers were first ones to go in. So,
Buffalo Soldiers.
Red Light. Yeah, that was, whose line was that? Was that Fugees?
I mean, that was in one of their songs, but I think it's Bob Marley.
Bob Marley is, but I'm talking about rap. Yeah. And today is also National Milk Chocolate Day.
I'm
you
a
know,
dark.
Dark chocolate?
You know me. Look at you, dark chocolate. You know what I like.
Boy, you better stop. You come over there and dropkick you.
Talking about that gay stuff again.
It's some birthdays in sports. Today would have been Vada Blue Day, Vada Blue's birthday. Bill Bradley, senator, his birthday is today as he celebrates that. Also, today is Doug Collins turns 74. D'Amico Ryans turns 41 today. I'm sorry, I'm gonna get it straight. And John David Washington, you say, well, he's an actor. Well, he was also a football player. Denzel's son.
Yeah.
He turns 41. Dana White and Manu Ginobili both celebrate birthdays today. Joe, who's older?
Dana White.
Dana White, what was the second one?
Manu Ginobili. Ginobili!
Oh, man. Dana White.
Dana White. It wasn't as close as you think, guys. Dana White is 56. Manu Ginobili is 48.
I was going to say late 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple things. I went to a psychic the other day. I knocked on her front door. She yelled, "Who is it?" I left.
That's true.
You ain't real.
That's true.
My wife doesn't like brown rice. I guess she's a racist. News just in. Police have revealed there's been a number of robberies at a local bowling alley. Police believe the criminals are likely to strike again. I own two shirts and some neckwear that used to belong to a guy in the Mamas and Papas. All the sleeves are brown and the tie is gray. The tie is gray.
And the tie is gray.
All right. In the news, a man was being investigated for stealing Amazon packages. He was the prime suspect. One windmill asked another, "What kind of music do you like?"
Yeah, well, that was one you should have explained.
Oh, right, Prime is what Amazon is. Amazon Prime. One windmill asked another windmill, "What kind of music do you like?" The other windmill replied, "I'm a big metal fan." Oh, they're making the whales loco. What the hell does that even mean? Anyway, a friend of mine got her PhD. I told her to go to a restaurant, order a meal, and when the food arrived, say, "That's just what the doctor ordered." You like this? "I took my son to the doctor. I'm not sure what HD is, but the doctor said he has 80 of them. ADHD. 80 HD. Here, two more for you real quick. Chuck Norris once threw a grenade that killed 50 people, then it exploded. You got to get that from the Chuck Norris aspect. He's such a badass. And lastly, it's well known that being obese is bad for your health. There's a large body of evidence to back that up. A large body. There you go.
Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Manic Monday.